Hello, and welcome to show number 2524 of Eyes on Success, a weekly program empowering the visually impaired with expert advice, personal stories, and the latest in technology and accessibility. I'm Nancy Goodman-Torpy.
And I'm Pete Torpy.
What we're definitely centered on these like first value principles is like, how do we create the best people possible with the trainings, the skills, the certifications to step up to the workforce, but then also execute once they get there? That's how we're going to make a difference, not just get the job, but actually retain it.
And that is so important to getting successful employment.
We'll talk with Tanner Gears, CEO and founder of Accessibility Officer, about their training program that certifies blind professionals, providing them with real-world skills, apprenticeships, and employment opportunities in digital accessibility testing. But first, for our tip of the week, this week's tip comes from Tanner Gears.
The tip is, you got to be focus and disciplined and forgetful at the same time. I struggled for years to get a job, like years. I just could not understand why. I could feel that they would want to hire me. And then they would see like how blind I really am and everything would shift. You're not good enough. No, they wouldn't say that, right? But that's how it would make me feel. Like, we went a different way. You know, it wasn't the right opportunity. You didn't get the job, whatever they would say. But it was because I wasn't good enough, you know, or whatever that I was telling myself. And you got to forget that stuff, right? And be, you know, just be unrelenting at getting yourself better, doing the things that are going to get you over the hump, that are going to help you stand out, and absolutely be goldfish memory on all the no's. Because one day, the opportunity, your door is going to open, and the amount of effort that you've put in to prepare for that moment, and you may not understand, like, and I'm speaking to myself in the third person, hey, how you deciding to write a book, how that would prepare you to communicate more effectively. Hey, how you decided to do speaking stuff would allow you to communicate stories more effectively and connect with people. Hey, your, you know, pushing yourself in sports would create the opportunity for you to be employed in digital. It's like, you don't know all the things that are going to build up to the one day for you to either succeed or lose when your opportunity comes. And you never know when it's going to come. And so you do everything you can every single day to make sure that you're your best for when that day comes.
Support for Eyes on Success is provided by
First Aid for the Blind, teaching blind and vision impaired clients important life skills through live video training from blind instructors. The purpose of FAFTB's training is to replace the fear of the unknown with feelings of hope and confidence. More information is at FAFTB.com.
And by
Biped AI, the manufacturer of NOAA, an all-in-one mobility vest. NOAA provides GPS navigation, detects obstacles, and describes surroundings using cameras and AI. Available through many distributors. More information is available at biped.ai.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Let's start by meeting Tanner.
My name is Tanner Gears. I am CEO at Accessibility Officer. I co-founded that organization in 2021 with Heather Burns, and I am totally blind.
I understand that was the result of an accident.
In 2004, March 28th, 2004, yes, I was 21 years old in a traumatic auto accident. A tree came through the windshield and impaled me in the face.
Ooh.
And I woke up in the hospital totally blind.
Wow. Sounds like you're lucky to be alive.
Super lucky, so grateful, so blessed, incredibly lucky.
And what had you been doing before you started Accessibility Officer?
Before Accessibility Officer, right before that, I was working at a company called UsableNet, which is a digital accessibility software company. I was head of partnerships selling digital accessibility services. I got into digital accessibility in 2015 as a result of getting placed into this tech startup selling digital accessibility job boards, which in 2015 was a little ahead of its time. But nevertheless, that's how I got into digital accessibility.
Support for Eyes on Success comes from our listeners and corporate sponsors.
For more information about airing promotional items on the show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
This week's focus topic is accessibility officer and the services they offer, including a training program that certifies blind professionals, providing them with real-world skills, apprenticeships, and employment opportunities in digital accessibility testing.
Well, Tanner, maybe you can tell us a little bit about accessibility officer and what the mission of your organization is.
Thanks so much. The vision that we have for the future is that the U.S. disabled unemployment rate should be the same as the U.S. unemployment rate. And our philosophy for how do we do that is we get people with severe disabilities like myself, we get them trained, we get them certified, and we give them a job. We think that employment leads to financial freedom and independence, which creates choice and opportunity and so much abundance in people's lives. Choice. When we go through all this work, we get trained, we get certified, and we don't have a job to apply those new skills in, they atrophy. And ultimately, you don't get the job. You struggle to get the job. And if we're going to actually achieve that vision, we believe that we've got to get people like us working with people who are not like us and change their perspectives on what it means to be blind and what we can do in employment. And so we think that as a society and a culture, in order to shift that perspective, we got to hit ourselves where we have a lot of our identity tied up. And we believe that's in employment. And we can see this in our language and how we engage with people when it's one of the first questions that we ask someone when we're getting to know them, which is like, what do you do? What do you do for yourself? Do you work? And even when you're going to school as a younger person, people want to know what you're studying. Hey, what are you studying? Because ultimately, they want to know what you're going to do with that education. So that's our philosophy and that's our mission. That's our vision.
That is a very admirable goal. In the last few years that Accessibility Officer has been around, do you have an idea of roughly how many clients you've served?
Yeah, we've done just over 60 clients, I believe, in about 12 different states. And when we say clients, I'm talking about vocational rehabilitation clients who have come through our training program to get trained and certified in digital accessibility compliance.
And how did you get this organization underway? That sounds like a big venture to take on and try to connect with all these different agencies around the country.
I appreciate that. It was born from experience. And so we're a digital accessibility company first. And I think that that really allows us to create those employment opportunities and through our firsthand experience, provide a vocational rehabilitation training program that's aligned with actual business outcomes. So when we started Accessibility Officer, our digital accessibility business started to grow, but we could not source talent efficiently that happened to be blind or visually impaired, who also could technically do the job at the level in which it needed to be done. The people that had the certifications or the people that had the skill and ability were already working in the field, right? To actually source these individuals took a little bit more effort. So we couldn't find them. So we built a training program. And then I kind of talked about a little bit of my experience in digital accessibility for about 10 years now. And, you know, through our relationships in New York and with Helen Keller Services, we brought this CAT program, the Certified Accessibility Testing Program, to them and said, hey, we want to pilot this employment program, this job training program with a paid apprenticeship guaranteed at the end with the Commission for the Blind in New York. Helen Keller loved it. And we piloted that program in 2022. And then we've been expanding that out across vocational rehabilitation agencies ever since.
Wow. What's involved in your training program?
It's a great question. It is a rigorous program. We make it akin to kind of like a college or graduate college level course, and it follows a similar structure. So it's instructor led and 14 weeks. And usually it takes a little bit longer than 14 weeks, because most times people don't pass the final exam on their first attempt. Just like the college program, we have lectures and workshops that are 2 90-minute sessions each week. Then we also have a floating 1-hour session with the lead instructor, one-on-one meeting to make sure that you're on task, you're on point, and you're learning the things that you need to be learning. We also have a one-on-one with an apprentice, someone who's graduated the program, a mentor to kind of help you through that part of the program, because it is rough and it is remote. Then outcomes, you get 2 certifications, the Department of Homeland Security Trusted Tester Certification, and then the Certified Accessibility Tester 2.2 certification. If you're in the field, you might be familiar with WCAG or WCAG 2.2AA. That is the most current standard. The Department of Homeland Security, that's the government certification that you need to do this work for local state governments, federal contractors, et cetera. And it's the only technical certification that you can get for free that validates this program as kind of an apprenticeship. Hey, it's a program, it's a third-party certification, it's technical, and there's the apprenticeship component. So the program has set you up to take the 2 final exams, the Trusted Tester final exam, and like I was mentioning, the CAT 2.2. That's a 4-hour proctored final exam, and it's to do the job. It's like, hey, you've done all this work to be a digital accessibility tester. Let's see you do it. You got a website. You've never seen it before. You test it and audit it and then create a report. And that report, that's your final exam. And so we have 3 technical experts across our team. Some are instructors and some are actual technical experts who are certified in the field, evaluate your report. And then based on a rubric, a grading rubric, you either pass or you fail. And then if you pass, you're in those 2 certifications. Again, you get trained, you get certified, you get a job as a digital accessibility tester. And because we're a digital accessibility company first, because we actually have clients that are paying us to do the services, you become a part of our team. You get to work with those clients as well.
Is that a self-paced one-on-one kind of training program, or is this a group instruction kind of thing?
That's a great question. It is a group instruction. It is on a schedule, and it is about 14 weeks long.
So you start a new session every few months?
That's right. About every other month, we're starting a new session. It's rolling. Our goal is to get more people into the opportunity, because digital accessibility is more than just digital accessibility. The opportunity is bigger than that. But yes, as soon as we have about 5 students, we have a minimum of 5 and a maximum of 10 and 1 class. And we're doing programs about every other month right now.
Now, when people come to you, I assume they get referred to you from the vocational rehab services. What kind of skills do they come to you with, and what specific skills are you teaching them in the process?
Great question. A lot of times people who are native screen reader users think that they're going to be great digital accessibility testers, and they don't have the requisite skill or ability to do the job. And so to prevent someone from coming into the program and falling on their face or just not being, they're just not there yet, we have a skills baseline assessment. And in that skills baseline assessment, we're looking at how good at you are those at your screen reader skills or your assistive technology skills. Do you know the keyboard commands? How do you navigate a website? How fast are you navigating? Right? How fast is your screen reader? Because at the end of the day, this is a service-based position where clients pay on the hour, right? So how fast you can do a job and the highest quality you can do that job, that's what the measurements of success are. So then we want to see you also manage Excel. Can you download this Excel file, open it up, and then in data entry and read that data? Can you download a Chrome extension? You know, how do you manage your calendar and join a Zoom meeting and manage emails and file management? Those are all things that we're going to assess in an hour, 60 to 90 minutes. And we're going to know, we're going to have a great understanding of how well you communicate, how well you navigate, and how well your capacity would be for navigating a program like this.
So is everybody accepted into the program regardless of what skills they come with, or are you just testing their skills to see what you need to train them more aggressively in?
Great question. No, if you fail the skills baseline, we will make a recommendation on the skills that you need to improve in order to get there. But no, not everybody's accepted into the program.
So if somebody falls short in their basic skill set, you send them to a local community college or something, or a local blindness skills training program, or what?
Yes. So it depends on what they need help with. So maybe it's communication skills. Maybe it's just basic assistive technology skills. It depends on the skill gap, because we cover so much. Well, it's like, hey, they do have strong screen reader skills, but they couldn't download a Chrome extension. They couldn't do data entry or management with Excel. And so they're great with a screen reader. They've got the good keyboard commands and shortcuts and yada, yada. They just don't have other skills, right? That might require a different type of recommendation. But it is important. We want people to succeed. And we do offer a remediation program. So we have a remedial skills upskilling training program designed just for this purpose. So depending on what the skill gaps are would determine the recommendation that we make.
So one way or the other, you're trying to help people develop the base skills so that you can train them in these special skills.
Absolutely. And I'm a pretty big critic of vocational rehabilitation and just the systematic issues of our education system, K through 12, for people who are blind or visually impaired. Like I said, we served over 60 clients in like 12 states. And the big broad stroke that we're seeing is just a real misunderstanding in what quote unquote job readiness is today in 2025, and setting the expectations for getting there and staying there, right? You know, it used to be that, hey, once you got a job, you got the job. And today it's all about ongoing improvement, upskilling. How much value can you provide to the organization? And a static mindset, one that's not oriented towards consistent growth and ongoing self-improvement, whether that's a new training, it's a new certification, it's learning how to use AI, whatever it is, we've got to be dynamic and adaptive to be competitive today.
Well, that's certainly true. You really can't stand still these days. You know, even just following the new technologies as the web comes up with different paradigms, different ways of using the web and programs, and screen readers have different features. You have to keep up with that stuff or you're lost.
That's right. That's right. And that's one of the opportunities with digital accessibility, right? The technology is always going to be changing. So, you know, we had the desktops, then we had mobile apps, right? Then there's, you know, more and more electronic documents. Now we're, you know, in the future, there's the metaverse, augmented reality, virtual reality, the new software applications, the digitization of work, the Internet of Things. And as these things continue to evolve, they're going to have to be accessible, you know, per our standards here in the United States, our local state laws and our federal laws. And so those regulations are going to be applied to these new digital environments. And the accessibility compliance standards will be made and developed for these evolving standards. So it's something that's always going to kind of be there, right? So that's the opportunity number one. It's growing and the demands are increasing. And so as we have to adapt government services, regulated industries, healthcare, finance, banking, insurance, travel, you know, they have to evolve to this. So there's a demand for these services, number one. Number two is that once you've got your foot in the door, it's much easier to make a transition. It's much easier to apply for a second job in the same organization. And that's a huge opportunity for digital accessibility, whether it's getting a job in the government for a federal contractor or a big business. If you can get in at digital accessibility because the demand is so high right now, but your real passion is human resources or it's accounting or it's legal or it's whatever, you can then apply for those jobs once your foot's in the door and you're at a much higher success rate of being able to do the thing that you want to do. It's a tremendous opportunity right now for the blind and visually impaired community to take advantage of.
So I'm curious, you said you suddenly went blind at age 21 about 20 years ago. And Organizations like yours didn't exist so much back then. What kind of training were you able to get so that you could presumably finish your education and get started in the working world?
Nothing I did with regards to VR got me where I'm at today. Zero. And that's kind of what I'm talking about with the systematic issues and problems. I did everything VR told me to do. You know, if VR actually did a better assessment of me and saw like my entrepreneurial spirit, I would have probably been offered the BEP program under the Randolph-Shepard Act, number one. Number two is that I have my MBA today. I got that after I started in digital accessibility, and it did zero for me. With regards to once I was already in the field, it did zero for me to advance my opportunities, right? At least in where I'm at, or in where the position that I was in, degrees didn't mean anything. Outcomes did. So while I thought a degree would help me, it certainly didn't. What did help me was a certification, right? I got my certification. That was a credential, right? That got some attention on me. What did get me opportunities was actually, you know, providing value. I tell the story is like when I got the job as selling digital accessibility job boards, it was at a tech startup and there was founder conflicts and the, you know, the business went under. But that's when I was like, holy moly, a screen reader? That's, I have that power. I'm going to get a job. I went to LinkedIn. I started finding out, all right, who's doing digital accessibility? I started going to their websites, finding accessibility issues, and then sending it to the leadership on LinkedIn. And me finding accessibility problems on accessibility companies' websites got me an interview. And then that, you know, got me a second interview. And then that got me my first job. And I worked my butt off and I got a promotion.
It's all about opening the door the first time. That's sometimes the hardest step.
That's right. I wasn't meant to do technical work. I was meant to, you know, provide opportunities for people who are blind, right? And I'm just using digital accessibility as the vehicle to do that. To open those doors up, because that's how I got my door open.
You talked about your program getting people certified to do digital accessibility testing and then going on to get some nice paid jobs. Who are the people you connect with? Are they eventually working for you or for another company? How does this all work after the program's done?
It's a great question. So they will get hired by us first. We want to create working experience, number one. Number two is that we want to prepare people who have never worked before or have low work experience in like a competitive environment, experience on what that looks like. We want to get them comfortable with constructive feedback and criticism. How do you improve? Get you to the point where you're actually on a meeting with a client. Get you to the point where your communications, your professionalism, your acumen is strong enough that you're managing a project, that you're actually communicating with the client and you're leading a conversation. We want to do that in a safe space. We want to do that here internally. We want to do that in a place where people can fail forward and not be worried about losing their job, because apprentices, vocational rehabilitation counselors don't realize this, but all the time, our apprentices, the people we hire, do stuff that would get them fired immediately in the wild, in the real world, right? They would get fired and they've never had the job. They've never had the opportunity. So they don't know. They're doing their best, but they're breaking the rules because they didn't grow up in that. They didn't get the first job when they were 16. They didn't get the jobs when they were in college or the internships and then yada, yada, so on and so forth, right? This is their first time.
So you're offering them the opportunity to get used to what a real working environment is, and it's a nice transition before they get a job outside of your organization.
That's right. And then the next steps for that is, you know, so we have the getting hired playbook that's going to help with the interview process. And people struggle with that. People struggle with communicating business value and how to be the best candidate, not just the best who's blind, right? But we put out a job on LinkedIn for a software engineer last week, and I had about 450 applicants.
Wow.
And the job was open for 4 days. And so how are people communicating their value, not as being just the best candidate with a disability, but the best candidate despite their disability against the other 450 people, right? So it's never been more difficult. So that's why there's a different thing called the Getting Hired Playbook. And that's why we want to give working experience in the apprenticeship. We want to show that, hey, I'm doing the work. Hey, I can do this work. I have a job doing this. And like you said, prepare them with the experience and the skills to actually transition.
Well, it sounds like your organization has developed a really fine model for getting people the skills they need and the opportunities to learn the work environment skills that they'll need in the working world and actually moving them on to a job. So kudos to you.
I appreciate it. And we don't have all the answers and we're learning all the time, you know, but what we're definitely centered on these like first value principles is like, how do we create the best people possible with the trainings, the skills, the certifications to step up to the workforce, but then also execute once they get there, right? That's how we're going to make a difference, not just get the job, but actually retain it. How do we build the people that are competitive enough to keep the job?
You are listening to Eyes on Success. Success, 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 success.
Now for this week's final item, how to learn more about Accessibility Officer and their programs, and how to contact them, including today's guest, CEO Tanner Gears.
So Tanner, remind our listeners again about the name of your organization and how they can connect with it if they want to avail themselves of your resources.
Accessibilityofficer.com. You can find us there. We have a vocational rehabilitation link right at the top of the page. You can submit the form. That'll come to me and our team, and we can go from there.
And just so that it's clear to everybody, that's accessibility, as in the words access and ability put together. So two A's in that.
Yes, that's right.
Do you have a social media presence?
Yeah, totally. So Accessibility Officers on Facebook, we're on LinkedIn, we're on YouTube, we're on TikTok. And then Tanner Gears, my last name is four letters, G-E-R-S, Tanner Gears. I'm everywhere and nowhere at the same time.
So do people generally connect with your organization first or go through their local rehab agency or what?
If you want to get the conversation started, I recommend making sure that your vocational rehabilitation counselor knows that this is your vocational goal. If you need help with that, you can reach out. I can help with some language around that. But you want to make sure that they know that this is the goal and that there's programs that exist to do this. And this is a real opportunity. And then typically, once that they know that this is your goal and you've done like, hey, these are the jobs that are available, all the market labors, all the things that you have to, all the boxes you have to check, right? Once you've got that started, we can come into the conversation and say, hey, this is the program. I think the thing that really separates us from everybody else, and there's other good programs out there, but what separates us is that I don't know of another program that guarantees employment.
In case you missed any of that, it can always be found in the show notes associated with this episode, which is episode 2524, at our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net.
That's it for today's show. Next week on Eyes on Success, we'll be talking about how Tanner Gears was able to rebuild his life after losing his vision. Tanner Gears is a Paralympic athlete and founder of Accessibility Officer, and we'll talk to him about his journey from a life-changing injury to how he is now empowering other blind individuals through employment and digital access. And we'll also talk with him about the big role that athletics has played in turning his life around.
So if you want to learn more about Tanner as a person, join us for next week's episode.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
You can access the full archive of previous shows, subscribe to the podcast, and much more by going to our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. If you have questions about anything you've heard on the show or have suggestions for future shows, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
Thank you for listening and have a nice day.